And we are talking golf with Blair Oco from the Blair Oco Golf Academy on the south side. The U.S. Open begins on Thursday in Chambers Bay. And you're much more of a golf historian than I am. This is like a links course. How many links courses are at the U.S. Open?
Yeah, you know, this is kind of different for U.S. GA to host a type of event at a links style golf course. Normally, you get the big trees and you know, tight fairways and long rough. This is just like the British Open, so it's going to be quite interesting this coming week.
Does links benefit, you know, if we're making generalizations, the European golfers more than the North American ones?
You'd think so. But you know what? The top players in the world, they're playing over in Europe, and they're playing the British Open. And, Phil Mickelsons and Tiger Woods and these guys and Furyk and Els, these guys have all experienced a links-style golf course. So maybe for some of the younger guys that haven't had the opportunity to go over and play in Europe and play the links-style, this will be similar to what they play over in Europe.
Right now, when you look at guys' games, do the best golfers in the world, do some of them automatically play better on a links course? Like, does it suit their game? Is it that noticeable?
Well, I think certain courses will suit certain players for sure. They have their favorites, and you'll see, tradition is guys that will play well in certain tournaments. They'll come back year after year, and maybe they'll win that tournament on a consistent basis or play well at it. Some guys like the link style, some like more the traditional trees that we're used to here over in Europe or in North America, and some guys like the European style golf courses.
What do you like better as a course and why?
I like the big trees. It just for myself, the trees lining up the fairway, it's just more appealing to me. I like the mountain courses, for instance, and having the big trees and hitting down the fairway. The link style, the wind blows. And I'm not a great wind player, so there's nothing to protect you from the elements, right?
Speaking of, being a wind player, how can you become a better wind player? Like, do you have to adjust your swing? Is it how you hit the ball so it's not going as high? Is that the big difference?
Yeah. Trajectory is the main thing there.
And, so how do we alter our trajectory?
Well, by ball position and lower follow through, keeping the ball flight down. And so you have to make adjustments when you're playing in windy conditions. And if you play a big slice and you get it up high in the wind and you hit the ball high, well, that ball is going to end up 40, 50 yards on the other fairway. So you have to learn to, take the spin off the ball and not have so much hands, as we call it, in through the swing, through the impact zone, to take away the spin from the ball. And then, by following through lower, maybe placing the ball in the back of your stance, that'll keep the trajectory down, keep it underneath the wind.
Oh, so on your driver, you put the ball near the back here. Do you hit it, then you don't hit it as far?
Well, you're going to place it maybe not quite off the back of your right, if you're right-handed, off your back of your stance, but you're going to maybe move it back 3 or 4 inches than normal, maybe tee it down a little bit lower, and that'll help you keep it underneath the wind. And also, the old saying, swing wind breezy, swing easy, it's so true. Everybody's guilty of it, and you feel that wind coming into them, they feel like they have to swing harder. And when they swing harder, what happens? You put more spin on the ball, and then the ball takes off, and away she goes.
So that's the problem. Swinging harder puts more spin in the ball.
Oh. Yeah. And if you're not quite flush with it, square, then that just magnifies the error, right?
Blair Oco joins us. So tell us about Chambers Bay. What they put a lot of money into this course.
$21 million. It's Robert Trent Jones Jr. design. I think it's going to be just an awesome test of golf this week. It's something you're going to want to watch. And I was just watching Tiger and Dustin Johnson, and they were playing the 16th hole, and they were practicing these bunker shots. And there's not much green there. And if they get in the bunker there, and the greens are going to be fast and hard, they're not going to be able to keep the ball in the green. It's going to be a true test, and whoever comes out on top will be playing some amazing golf.
For most of these guys, is today the first day they're on this course?
Yeah. Well, a lot of guys have gone week prior, a couple of weeks prior, and they get some practice rounds in if they have a, you know, a week off from their schedule. So there's been
They'll fly out there and they're allowed to practice on it.
Yeah.
Because is there any set rules on how often you can practice on a course?
As far as I know, I don't think there's a set rule.
Okay.
I know Ryan Moore was out there a couple weeks ago practicing and getting the taste of the golf course for his first time. And for most of these guys, well, for everybody, this is going to be their first time playing a U.S. Open at Chambers Bay. So, you know, these other courses they've played in the past, they've got history. They've played it. They know the course. But this course, they don't know what it's going to be like in tournament condition. So it's very advantageous for them to get out there, you know, a month ago, 2 weeks ago. I'm sure Tiger was out there a couple, 3 weeks ago practicing.
And it's kind of in the middle between, I was looking on the map, it's kind of in between Portland and Seattle. It's not right, it's not in Seattle. People are saying it's kind of in the middle of the two of them. So the rain conditions, I would think, are going to play a factor at some point.
Well, if the wind blows and the rain comes down, the rain will actually be an advantage for the players. That'll help them.
How come?
The greens will be soft and what we call receptive. So if they do get moisture, that'll be a good thing. They'll be able to fly the ball at the pins, and the ball will bite. If it blows and there's no rain, the greens will dry out, and they will get faster and faster. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're not 14 on the stamp meter by the end of the weekend if it stays dry.
Now, explain the stamp meter, and is it the higher number is more difficult?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Average greens around here probably run, you know, maybe 8, 9. So this would be like putting on a on a table, and it's
now when it runs faster, does it have more break or less?
More break. Yeah, more break, and then you have to have good touch.
And for the pros, because I know you've been to these tours. So let's say you're golfing on Friday, and all of a sudden Saturday, you know, the wind comes up and it's way faster. Do they have a practice green that is similar to the greens on the tour? So if all of a sudden in the morning you get up on Saturday and now, you know, the wind blew and it dried out the green, you went from a 12 to a 14 on the stamp meter, for instance. Do they have practice greens so the guys can get a feel of it, or they just got to go out there the course and kind of guess on what it is?
Yeah, no. The green superintendent, he will cut and roll the greens on their practice green the same speed as what they're going to go and play.
Okay.
So they'll have a very good idea what the greens are going to be like. And, you know, as the day goes on, you know, if the wind's blowing, the greens will get faster, right? They will get dried out. And so the conditions may change a little bit, but not too much.
Blair Oco from the Blair Oco Golf Academy joins us. We mentioned Tiger Woods, and I know you, hey, you're a woodsaholic. I like to have some fun with you. He has finished 17th at the Masters, which, you know, he was in contention for a day or two and then finished 17th. You know, Spieth crushed everyone, but in the other tournaments, he really hasn't been close at all. You know, not finishing, not making the cut, finishing 69th. Is it changing his swing again, or is Tiger maybe just, like, I never expected him to be Tiger again. 5 years ago, I didn't say he'd catch Jack Nicklaus, so I'm not stunned that he's, you know, fallen off. But it seems like it's pretty drastic now. Like, it's, for the most part, other than one tournament, he just hasn't been competitive.
No. You know, I think he's, you know, his new swing coach, Como, I think, you know, there's just so many things going on, and he made an interesting comment after the last round. He says, okay, now we're on the range here, and he's practicing. He says, what's our swing thought now? So he is really struggling with getting something to work for him. But they showed his swing from 2000 to present day on the weekend, and there's a big difference in his swing. There's some, you know, he was moving off the ball in his backswing with his driver about 6 inches, and, you know, he's dropping 6 inches, and he's a great athlete, but you know what,
like why would he change his swing so much?
Well, maybe to allow for him to swing more freer with his injuries.
Okay.
We don't know, right?
Right. Yeah.
And this could all stem from his injuries, and he's trying to adjust his swing. Like when he was in the year 2000, when he had that great run, and they showed his swing. Well, obviously, you know, he wasn't as big either, but his hips, his belly button is pointing at the target on impact. And now his hips, he was way up on this right side, and he was clearing his hips, but that's a young Tiger. Now, He's a little bit older. The back's not as flexible. Mm-hmm. So he has to adjust. And he still wants to, you know, he has that macho image. He has to just power through it and hit it hard. And if I had to give him some advice, hit it 80%. Get the ball in the fairway. You're still going to hit it 300 yards. You don't need to hit it 340. Get it in play. Swing it 80%. Get the ball in play and then move from there. Because that's where his nemesis is. He can't hit the fairway.
Yeah, he's all over. I think that last round, if I read it properly, I think he hit two fairways or something ridiculous.
Yeah, and you could still see him swinging so hard at the ball and just trying to hammer it. And you know what? He's got to tone it down and just get the ball in play. Get the ball in play and see what happens from there. So
that the hardest thing for, I think, an elite athlete, because he is truly an elite athlete, is to accept when suddenly you're not elite anymore and to try to alter to it. That's got to be especially for golf, because in a team sport, when your play goes down, you can still get by. Maybe you're not the first line center. Now you're the second line center. You know, it's different. Mm-hmm. In golf, it's you or nothing.
Yeah, it's you. And I think maybe he has to take a little bit more humble approach to the game and just say, hey, this is what I'm restricted to do now. And, you know, not try and hit it, you know, like I said, 340 yards down the fairway every time. Tone it down a little bit. Adjust your game. You know, Jack Nicklaus went through this. He, in 1979, shot 82 at the British Open. And so, you know, there's the all-time great golfer who had experiences like this. He went on to win three more majors after that. So, you know, I think Tiger...
But he's the greatest golfer ever, so that's why.
You know, yes, you have to say he is. You know, it's going to be a great story. I'm anxious to see how Tiger performs this week. You know, being a link style, maybe, you know, the big miss, they always call it, maybe he'll get a few breaks and he'll have a shot to the green and who knows.
What about Rory's game, Blair Oco joins, because he's really been on a roller coaster too. He's had some great games and then he's missing cuts. The one stat they showed in that decade of dominance by Tiger, he didn't miss a cut. And Rory's missed a lot of cuts. Like he seems to ramp his game up at the majors, which is, I know what gets talked about, but it's kind of hard to just turn that switch on, isn't it?
Well, these guys, that's what they're driven for, right? Is the majors. And this is when these guys rise to the occasion. And you know, when the pedal's down, these guys are going to, you know, do their best to perform at their optimum peak at these events. And so I think Rory McIlroy will be there at the end of the week, and on Sunday will be in contention for sure.
Blair Oco from the Blair Oco Academy, Golf Academy, joins us. We were talking all sorts of golf, of course. Chambers Bay is the host, first time ever for the U.S. Open. They put $21 million into that golf course. And by the way, that course is open to the public. So a lot of our diehard golf aficionados, you can get out there and play this course right after the U.S. Open leaves and really test yourself to see how you fare on a course that the pros play on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so like that's pretty rare.
Yeah, very rare. And most of the time they're playing private golf courses and the public, general public, don't have an opportunity to play these, you know, U.S. Open style golf courses. So that's awesome. So we'll have to make a trip.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd be wasting my money, because all I know, if it was a link style course and it was a professional PGA course, it would probably require me to have three new sleeves of balls, I would think, at least.
Three dozen, you mean?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, no, just three extra of what I usually use. Yeah, so that would not be good. Now, Brooke Henderson, the young Canadian who played in her first major as a pro. She's played in majors before as an amateur, but first time as a pro where she can keep her money. She finishes fifth and takes home $132,000, so great for her. And, you know, man, you watch her ball striking's unbelievable. It's really her putter, something you know, that kind of got away from her on the weekend. She talked about it. She shot 71 and 71, and that's getting away from her, and still has her in the top five. She looks like she could easily become the best Canadian women's golfer we've ever seen.
Well, this is just unbelievable for Canadian golf, and you know, you say her putting got away from. I think her nerves got to her, and being in that situation and having a chance to win a major championship on the LPGA Tour—that's just phenomenal. 17 years old. Keep this in mind, and you know, that's just we need more females playing this game, and it's just great for Canadian golf to have somebody like her do what she did this last weekend. So we're all proud of her. That's for sure.
We've seen young, you know, athletes come up, and, you know, you watch her game. what gives you the impression to think that, okay, you know what, this won't just be a flash in the pan? She's somebody who could be a, you know, a top golfer in women's golf for quite some time.
Well, at this young age, 17 years old, and to be able to compete at this high level shows that she does have the nerves of steel. And more than that, she's got a great game. She's, you know, I was watching her on the weekend, just an outstanding golf swing, and she just handles herself so professionally out there at such a young age. So that those are signs that you look for, and that, you know, this gal's going to be around, and I'm sure we'll see her in majors again competing and possibly, well, winning on the LPGA Tour.
Which would be phenomenal. Who was the last Canadian to win on the LPGA?
Laurie Kane?
Yeah, like that's quite a while ago.
We have to go into our archives here.
And her and Henderson, if I'm not mistaken, they're representing Canada at the Pan Am Games. Because golf's in at the Pan Am Games.
Yes.
So you've got Kane, who's 50, mm-hmm. and Henderson, who's 17. So and there's a lot of other Canadian women that are ranked higher than Laurie Kane, but they're not playing for Canada. What do you think of that? Like, it almost seems like Canada just said, hey, you know what, Laurie, this is for all of your previous accomplishments.
Yeah, like Kalina Sharp, you know, I thought she'd maybe have an opportunity, but... You know, Laurie Kane, she's earned her stripes, and yeah, good for, you know, Canada Golf for doing that, though. Putting her with a young girl and you know, giving her some experience and some guidance out there, I think that'll be really good for the young girl.
Well, she'll definitely, you know, it seems like Brooke doesn't need a lot of help so far, but you can always learn, and definitely never hurts having too much experience on the course. Looking ahead quickly, going into this weekend's U.S. Open, we have a lot of our buddies who get into their golf pools now. Yeah. Who do you like on this track and why?
Well, just by looking at the golf course, you know, I think length is going to play a big factor. And Dustin Johnson comes to mind. He's on a roll right now. He's been playing great golf. He seems to be in contention every weekend. And he just hits it a mile, and he's straight, which helps. So you got length and straightness. So, you know, I would definitely look at Dustin Johnson as being one of the early favorites. Jason Day, he struggled a little bit, but, you know, he's gearing himself up for these majors. He wants to win a major. He wants to be number one player in the world. He's doing everything he can. He's you know, he's ready to peak. So I'd look at Jason Day. And then, you know, Phil had a great weekend. Phil's been looking to win the U.S. Open, and he's come so close so many times. And this could be Phil's, you know, he likes the link style. He won the British Open here just a little while ago. Played, you know, this last weekend, had a great run. Finished tied for second, I believe, or third. Tied for third. So, you know, Phil Mickelson, you can't count him out either.
Never count out the lefties. Kidding me?
Yeah.
Why would you? We see it, you know, there's... For a while there, it was like, man, I wouldn't say no names, but you're always having a new guy win on tour. Now, Rory's won a few, but I think there was a stretch of, it was 14 majors and it was a new winner every time, right? Yeah. Now, Rory obviously has bucked that a little bit. You know, Jordan Spieth is the other one who, and like he dominated at the last major. And last year, of course, had the tough finish where he was, you know, kind of fell apart a little bit and didn't win. What is it about Spieth's game that you like? Is it his ball striking? Is it his course management? Is it putting? What is it that's making him one of the dominant young guys right now?
All of the above. And just the way, you know, we were talking to young Brooke about how she handled herself on the golf course. Jordan Spieth is way ahead of his years. And you can see that in his interviews and just how he handles himself on the golf course. He's very mature for a young guy. And this is his fourth U.S. Open. And he's got the whole package, and he manages his game really well. And there's really not a flaw in his game. And but one of the things that I think that separates him from everybody else is that just he's able to handle this pressure at such a young age, like Tiger did. And I'm not going to compare him to Tiger yet, but he's the real package. He's got everything.
Now, the Alberta Professional Golf Tour is going on right now?
Yeah, we had an event in Lacombe today, and so we have the our PGA series, and they go around Alberta. And
then these guys can qualify for the Canadian?
The Canadian Tour events? Oh, yeah. A lot of them try, yeah. So the one in Fort McMurray and the one down at Glen Eagles, a lot of these guys in Alberta, they're
still... Yeah, the end of July one, right?
Yeah. They'll try and qualify for the ATB and then the senior one, too. There'll be guys trying to qualify for the Shaw Champions Tour event, which is in August, such as myself.
Do you have... you're on the senior tour?
Yeah.
Really?
Shh, quiet. Don't say
it. Wow.
I know now. I've made.
Holy
yeah. I'm now.
Cow. I knew you're old, but I didn't know it was dirt that was coming in studio
yeah,
today.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate that. But yeah, no, it's, you know, I'm pretty excited for myself and going to try and go down and qualify. It's at the Hamptons, July 30th.
So what goes into qualifying? You just play two rounds and you got to reach a certain score?
Well, they have a pre-qualifier. So a lot of, you know, local pros like myself and in through Alberta and some amateurs will, you have to be 50 and over. Yes, that's correct. 50. And then you go to the pre-qualifying okay. and they'll take usually 8 of the pre-qualifying. And then you go to the, Canyon Meadows on the 4th, which is the day before the event starts. And then they have the main qualifier. And that's where a lot of the Champion Tour event, or Champion Tour players that aren't already in the event, they will try and qualify. So the first go around, you know, you're going to have to be around even par to get to the next stage. The next stage, you're going to have to go a little deeper, probably 2, 3, 4 under to qualify. And then they'll take, you know, I believe, you know, maybe 3 or 4 players out of that field. That'll get you into the Champions Tour event. So
for the Alberta ones, if you're an Alberta pro, is there any sort of advantage when the Canadian Tour plays in your province? Like, did the Alberta guys get you know, if there was a tie, does it go to the local guys or no?
No. Okay. There's no advantage. It's just you go out and you play with everybody else and you try and qualify. And if you get in, you're in, right?
So, and is there a cost to enter to qualify?
Yeah, you have to pay a fee. So
that's what I say about golf that I respect for golf is... all the you earn everything. There's no contracts. It's a play. It's basically pay as you play.
Yeah. On you know, Thursday, Friday, on the PGA Tour, you're not guaranteed anything.
Yeah.
So if you don't make the cut, you're we call it trunk slamming, and you're on to the next event, and you're away you go. And that's right. These guys, they earn their money, and as they get
now in the PGA, some of them are getting appearance fees now, aren't they?
A little bit, yeah. They get, you know, the top guys like Tiger would get an appearance fee. I think you got $1 million to go to Dubai and play in their tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these guys get endorsements, you know, the top guys, right? But the young guys coming on the, you know, the web.com and, you know, maybe for first year in the PGA Tour, they're going to get some endorsements, right? Because they don't want them out there starving. So they get marketing agents and they'll generate probably $500,000 to close to $1 million in sponsorship and endorsements. So
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
even for the first year guys.
Oh, yeah. 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 They'll have to. Yeah. They got a lot of expenses. Don't forget, they're paying for their own travel.
Yeah.
Their hotels, their caddies. They got to pay their caddy fees. So it's,
Does the caddy fee only get paid if they win or do you get paid regardless?
Well, every caddy's different. There's a guy from Sherwood Park here who's caddying. Saul's caddying for Mike Weir. I don't know his arrangement, but you know, Mike Weir's, you know, he's made over $60 million on the PGA Tour. I'm sure he's on a salary plus a percentage of whatever he makes and wins. Some guys will be 10%. So if they win $1 million, the caddy's getting $100,000 that weekend. So, you know, the caddies, they have to, you know, maybe some of them have to pay for their own travel. Depends on who they're caddying for. Maybe the travel's already paid for. So everybody is a little bit different, right? So not bad life, you know, caddying on the PGA Tour and traveling around. And
now you got to know the game, you know, fairly well, I would think.
Yeah. A lot of the caddies are, you know, Danny Sauls, he's a great, great golfer. Yeah. This kid won on the Canadian Tour. And I know Danny quite well, and I'm surprised he's caddying because I thought he'd be chasing the PGA Tour, and maybe he will. Maybe he's learning how to, maybe Mike's teaching him a few things.
He always talked about on our show, he said the thing that stopped him, it was the mental stuff he's got to get better at, right? Because he had the physical part down.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And that's
golfer.
What separates most athletes in any sport is really just that. And in golf, it's golf very much a mental game.
Yeah, 90%.
Yeah. Quickly, what's happening at the Blair Oak Golf Academy right now?
Well, we're getting revved up for the summer. Katrina and I are teaching lots. We got lots of lessons going on. We got our junior camps. We got our golf hockey. We started last year our junior, so the little guys, the 3-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And we got that going on all
summer.
And
do you guys still do that tour where you go to different golf courses on the weekend or something?
Yeah, we're going to, actually I was talking to Katrina about starting another one here in July. We're going to be our mystery golf tour.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you where we're going. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, you just kind of show up 40 people, right?
Yeah, we have breakfast and we go out and we take you to a, you know, a nice golf course just outside of Edmonton, and then we have a steak dinner afterwards, and it's a lot of fun. It's good.
Now, when are you going to do that?
July 4th we're looking at. So July, if anybody 4th. Wants to come, we want to fill a couple of buses, and it's a good time. And Katrina's a, you know, she's a lot of fun. She's a great golfer, and but it's, you don't have to be a great golfer. It's not about that. I'm just, you know, it's we go out there, we have fun, and get to meet some new people, and put you in a foursome, and
so you're not, if you want to just sign up as a single, you can.
Oh, definitely.
Right,
yeah. And you know what? We don't get enough opportunity to go around and see some of these great golf courses around Alberta, which are they're phenomenal. Like Coal Creek, it just opened up here a few years ago.
Yeah, by just past Hofield.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's they got the black sand.
It's
just cool to see it.
It's mm-hmm. unreal, and to play out of it, you think it looks muddy and everything, but it's the sand is so fine and powdery. I tell you, it's easy to hit out of. Easier, I should say. It's not easy. It's easier.
You're testing that out, eh?
Yeah.
And warm up, I'm sure.
Yeah, boys.
You can call 496-9534 if you want to get in on the mystery tour this summer.
Yeah, you betcha.
All right, Blair, always good to talk to you, man. Hopefully you heal up.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Good luck in the seniors tour. <That's>, oh, never going to forget that one. That's great. Boy.